Amen.
All right, amen. So if you look there at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, I want to focus there at the beginning, the very beginning of the chapter. If you begin reading in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." The title of my sermon this morning is Advice to Babes in Christ. Advice to Babes in Christ. Now, just like when someone is born, you know, into this life, as far as born into the fleshly birth, when they're born into this life, this world, if you will, there's a lot of similarities, and that's why God likens the spiritual life to the fleshly birth, because you begin at zero. You begin at zero knowledge. You begin being very foolish and ignorant of things. Just like when a baby is born in this world, they're born with zero knowledge. They're born, you know, just as dumb as a box of rocks. They have no knowledge. They have no wisdom. They have no understanding of anything. And that is exactly the same way for a Christian right when he gets saved. When he trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior, at the moment he calls upon the name of the Lord, he's born again and he's saved and he's become a child of God, but he's a baby. And he knows nothing at that time. And he's foolish and he's ignorant when it comes to the things, you know, of the spiritual world. He's foolish and he's ignorant when it comes to the things of the Bible and spirituality. Now, when you compare the two, I believe that the spiritual babe, as opposed to the physical babe in this world, has it more difficult. And the reason why is because oftentimes, when people get saved, you know, they're 18, 19, 20, 21. They're older most of the time. Majority of people, if you were to go ask them, they didn't grow up in a Christian home, or they didn't have, you know, the opportunity for someone to approach them while they were still at a very young age to give them the gospel. So they got saved maybe at 20, 21, 22, and they have a lot of bad habits. And when you get saved, you know, you have the new born-again creature. You have the spirit, but you also have the flesh. And that flesh doesn't go away until you die. So you have to live that life while you're a babe in Christ, while you're immature, while you're foolish and you're ignorant. You have to live your Christian life with all of the bad habits there in the beginning, all the bad qualities that you had before, while the flesh is fully matured, and then you have this spiritual babe. I'm going to have you go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. That's why I believe that it's more difficult for the spiritual babe to grow as opposed to the physical baby or the fleshly baby. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ, because we're all babies one time in the sense of, you know, being born on this earth. We're all, you know, you have to have that first birth in order to be saved. Everyone that's saved was a babe in Christ at one time. Every mature Christian today was at one time a babe in Christ.
Amen.
Now, and you can even think of just great men of God, the apostles. They were also, you know, at one time they were babes in Christ. And oftentimes when we read, you know, in the Gospels and we read about some of the silly, dumb things that the apostles do, you know, Peter, James, John, a lot of them will say silly things and dumb things that we look back upon. And we're looking at them at times when you know, they didn't know much. When they didn't know a lot of the Bible as well. So, and then when you read in Peter's writings and Paul's writings, you know, when you read in John's writings later on down the road, you can see that they've matured a lot and they know a lot more. So there's nothing wrong, and there's no reason to be ashamed if you were recently saved. You know, and here's the thing. The number one important thing for a babe in Christ is to get into the Bible. It's to read the Bible. Now, I had you turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 1. So I'm going to read to you quickly first from Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 4. The Bible says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's Jesus speaking. He's quoting for a passage, I believe, from Deuteronomy. And he's saying, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he likens the physical food unto the spiritual food. He's saying, just like the human body needs, you know, the bread, man, in order to survive, in order to live, a Christian needs the spiritual food. Job chapter number 23, verse number 12 says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So Job says here that he esteems the words of God's mouth even more than his necessary food. The food that is necessary for him to sustain his own life. He says that the spiritual words, the words of God, the words of the Bible are even more important than that. So you're in 1 Peter chapter number 2, correct? Mm-hmm. 1 Peter chapter number 2. If you look there in verse number 1, we'll see another reference to babes in Christ. He says in verse number 1, "Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow but thereby." And then he says in verse number 3, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now this is, like I said, a very vital stage. This is where the growth takes place of while you're being fed off of the milk, while you're eating. If you look at a baby, that's a very, very important time. That's where the most growth occurs in the life. You know, the younger they are, that's where the more physical growth takes place as far as when a baby is born, is right immediately in those early days. Mm-hmm. Now, and the same thing applies to the Christian. When the Christian begins, you know, once they get saved, if they do get plugged into a good church, or if they maybe find a pastor on YouTube, whatever it may be, and they start listening online, that's a very, very important time. And that's why a lot of people will end up getting into false doctrine, because they, as a babe in Christ, they walk into the wrong church. Or as a babe in Christ, you know, maybe then, you know, because it's funny, because all your heretic friends that aren't saved, as soon as you get saved, they never talk to you about their false gospel, but as soon as you get saved, then all of a sudden they want to try to evangelize you when you have an interest in God. And they want to start trying to pump their false doctrine into your mind. And that's what happens oftentimes, because a babe can't feed itself. You know, a baby can't hold. They need to be served. Now, even when you're on the strong meat, you need to be served, but you do cut the meat yourself. You feed yourself then at that point. A baby doesn't know what's in that bottle. And a baby can't, you know, check the food out and make sure it's okay. They just take what's ever given to them. Obviously, the Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us and give us understanding. But because you have a very limited knowledge in the beginning, you basically just take whatever's given to you at that time. And, you know, a lot of people that, you know, that are online, a lot of people that are in our church, they found Pastor Anderson eventually online in the very beginning. That's how they basically got plugged in. A lot of people even got saved through listening online. And like I said, this is a very vital time. But it can also be a very, let me say this too, a very dangerous time. Amen. Because what can happen is, there's a lot of saved people out there in independent Baptist churches today. Obviously, a lot of them teach repent of your sins, not saved. But there are a lot of saved people that attend these other independent Baptist churches that differ in doctrine with us majorly. They've been saved for years. A lot of older people, you know, that have been saved for many, many years, that haven't grown a lot in the Lord, right? And what happens is, you have, you know, some young guy online. And I don't want to make this sermon just attacking certain people. That's not even the purpose of this sermon. Or just attacking, you know, a typical or a typology of someone doing certain things. But this definitely needs to be addressed, because it's something that you see over and over and over again after people get saved in our movement specifically. And this is what happens step by step. They get saved in the very beginning. They're already big on social media, things like that. They get saved. They find Pastor Anderson. They hear the gospel. They get saved. And they start learning doctrine. And they start growing as a babe in Christ. I'm going to have you turn to 1 Corinthians 8. They start growing as a babe in Christ. And you know what happens? They have the benefit of learning a lot of really good doctrine really fast.
Yep.
And that right there, like I said, that's a very vital time, but that can also be a very dangerous thing. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. It says, "Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge." And then it says this, very important, "Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." And if you know anything about the maturity of a Christian that's listed in the Bible multiple times, charity is almost every time the very last thing listed. Charity is the top or the maximum of the maturity level. That's the very last thing that you get. Not saying that you can't have any charity, but when you actually become a charitable person, when that is a characteristic, excuse me, or a quality that you possess, that means that you're a very mature Christian. You're not a babe in Christ anymore. And the very first thing that you learn as a babe in Christ, the very first thing that you get is the Bible, is the milk of the Word, and it's just pure knowledge. Mm-hmm. What happens is a lot of these people start learning things, right? They start learning things in the Bible. They start learning truths in the Bible. And you know what starts to happen? They don't have charity. They don't have all this other maturity. And knowledge puffs up. And they start to become very prideful and very arrogant. And if you're a babe in Christ today and someone's listening to this, and you've only been saved for a couple years, I'm not necessarily talking about you, but this happens very often in our movement and in Christianity in general. And I've heard story after story after story of just horror story after horror story of people getting saved. And then they'll come to me, or I'll hear them talking to somebody else, or I'll hear somebody else retell this story of after they get saved and they start learning the Bible, of them trying to go and find a church. And then they just go into the church, and then they have all these problems that occur every single time. And these people say the same thing every single time. There are no good churches in my area. I mean, I have heard that so many times, especially answering the emails. I hear it constantly. Constantly, there are no good churches in my area. Yeah. And I'll type in and I'll look up their area. I'll go to militarygetsaved.tripod.com, and that's just one resource. That does not tell you all the churches in the area. That's just all the people that got in contact with him or that guy found out about their church, and then he logged those. I'll look up churches in their area, and there's like 8 churches that are listed that are within, and that's just within like 15 miles. And what happens is these people, they end up getting saved. And after they get saved, they learn, oh, it's after the tribulation. They learn a little bit of head knowledge. They learn a little bit of doctrine, right? And then they go into these churches and they start a bunch of arguments with people. Yep. And the very first time they go and they sit in the pew, they sit in the back, they listen to the pastor, and the only thing that they catch out of every single thing that this guy says in the church is that that Jesus can come any minute. And then that just ruined the entire sermon for them. This was just a horrible service. Yeah. And then after the service, you know what the first thing that they do is? They walk up to the pastor, and their very first day at church, they want to confront the pastor. They want to ask the pastor about, they want to open their Bible and turn to Matthew 24. And now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that attitude. I am saying there's something wrong with. Yeah. But I'm not saying there's something wrong with over time eventually bringing it up to your pastor. When he's not even technically your pastor, and you're pretty much a visitor, you come sit in the back and listen to one service, and you've been saved for 1 year, and then all of a sudden you think you're going to walk in and correct the pastor, there's definitely something wrong with that.
Amen.
And that happens all the time. And you know what? And I've seen a lot of people that have moved to our church, grow rapidly since they've moved to our church when they were at this level. Tons of different people that I can name off, but I'm not going to, that have moved to this church where I could tell that they were a babe in Christ, and then they've grown just in a great amount, which is awesome. But there's tons of people that get stuck at being a babe in Christ. That's the reason why I'm preaching this sermon. There are so many people that have no idea, and this is what irritates me. It's because knowledge puffeth up, and they can't understand that they're still at this babe level. They're not at a maturity level. All they know, and here's a major red flag. If all of your doctrine, if you have gotten all of your doctrine from watching sermons, you're a babe in Christ.
Amen.
If all of the doctrine that you've acquired is from YouTube, you're a babe in Christ. If you've not even read your Bible through 2-3 times, you're a babe in Christ.
Amen.
Cover to cover, you're a babe in Christ. And I'm not saying, you may not fall, you may have only read your Bible 2 or 3 times, but you might not fall into this particular category. But let me say this. A lot of people in our movement fall into this category. And they need advice. Advice to babes in Christ. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter... Actually, turn to Proverbs chapter number 15. Proverbs chapter number 15. And they go into these churches, And there's a pastor who's been pastoring the church for like 30 years. He's read his Bible like 25 times. You know, yeah, some of these guys obviously don't read their Bible, but there are a lot of them that do read their Bible. I know my pastor back home, who was pre-trib, Zionist, he knew the Bible very well. I know he had read the Bible, it was like 40, 50 times or something. I can't remember what he said. He was obviously still wrong about the pre-trib rapture and all that stuff because he's reading it with his commentary and he's been taught it by his entire life. You know, when he was a babe in Christ, when he couldn't feed himself, I'm sure somebody came to him and taught him the pre-trib rapture and dispensationalism and all this. But what people do is, they go into a church when, like I said, all they've done is watch a few YouTube videos. And they, you know, they know now that it's after the tribulation. And they hear the pastor say one wrong thing and they just think, this guy's an idiot. When he's read the Bible scores and scores of time more than them. They may not have even read the Bible one time. The first advice to the babe in Christ is sit down and shut up.
Amen.
You need to, you know, here's a major, major problem. If you've been saved for 1 year to 2 years and you spend more time teaching the Bible than you do learning, there's a major, major problem.
Yeah.
If you spend more time, you know, trying to teach someone the Bible. Now, here's the thing. There's nothing wrong also. I want to give a lot of disclaimers in this because everybody may not fall exactly into this category. There's nothing wrong with trying to find someone and take them under your wing and teach them the Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. Even if you've been saved for 1 year, 2 years. But listen to what I said carefully. If you spend more time teaching the Bible than learning the Bible, and you've only been saved 1 to 2 years, there's a major, major problem. You are not going to be growing, number one. Now, look at, I'm going to read to you quickly from Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse number 7. The Bible says, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Now, if you turn to Proverbs chapter number 15, verse number 28. Proverbs chapter number 15, verse number 28. Notice what it said. It said, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to keep silence is when you're newly saved, when you're a babe in Christ. Imagine a mother, trying to take a baby and latch the baby upon her breast and feed the baby, and the baby just keeps talking. And it just keeps talking and it just won't shut up. And the baby's just, you know, obviously maybe not saying coherent words, but it's just blah, blah, blah. Is the baby going to be able to eat? No. That's why a lot of these babies in Christ, you know what happens? They stunt their own growth. They get to a certain point. They learn certain knowledge. They go to these other churches and they see all these people don't know these certain things that I know. And they start to get built up with pride. They start to become puffed up with pride. And then all of a sudden their growth just stops.
Yep.
And their knowledge just stops because now all of a sudden they think they're the teacher. They are going to spend their time teaching others, right? They're going to spend their time, you know, being the teacher instead of just being quiet and just eating the milk, feeding on the milk. Look at Proverbs chapter number 15, verse number 28. The Bible says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Now, I want to say this quickly, too, about the book of Proverbs. There are major themes that go throughout the book of Proverbs. I believe that the number one theme of what's mentioned the most is in discussion of a person thinking something and a person speaking something. Those two things. When you start off at the very beginning, obviously the general theme is mentioned the most as far as wisdom. But when you go through the chapters, what's discussed the most throughout the book of Proverbs is what's being spoken. And basically telling you to watch what you say. How important it is to watch what you say. And it also oftentimes is mentioned very, very many times in the Bible is it will even contrast one person thinking something and one person saying something. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 19, the Bible says this, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Now notice the two people that are compared. The person that's keeping his mouth shut, and it says that he's a wise person. And then over here it says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth, that means lacketh. There wanteth not sin. Saying there's no sin that's going to lack. If you're just going to sit there and just blow your mouth off and just keep talking and keep talking, you are bound to say something sinful.
Amen.
If you're just a loud mouth and a blowhard. And here's the thing, like I said, these people that get saved, they may have been a loud mouth before they were saved. Now they have this baby, the spirituality, that's starting to grow and starting to get knowledge. But then they have this flesh that's fighting against it, and they have all these bad qualities from their past of maybe being a loudmouth, of maybe already being prideful, and then that knowledge that's being fed to the Spirit just causes that flesh to have, be able to, that gives the flesh an opportunity to take advantage. That's why it's so important to make sure that you're walking in the Spirit. And like what was mentioned in 1 Corinthians 3, you know, he keeps bringing up that they're carnal. And what did he bring up? Divisions. Mm-hmm. Then we looked over in 1 Peter chapter 2. Did you notice what was brought up? I've never heard this point out before, but maliciousness, envying, the same type of stuff. You know why? Because when you're carnal, when you're walking in the flesh, when you're a babe in Christ, which you often are walking in the flesh at that time, that brings forth divisions. How do divisions be brought about? By pride. Only by pride cometh contention. That's why. Knowledge puffs up and they become very prideful. That's why I said at this stage of growth, it can be it's very important, obviously, but it can also be very dangerous because you have the babe and then you have the full-grown mature flesh with all of the bad qualities from the past. Now, this passage says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Notice this person's not speaking, and this is a righteous man. What's he doing? He's spending his time studying. He's spending his time, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He's spending his time learning. And then what's it say? But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Saying his mouth is just pouring out evil things. It's just a continual flow of stupidity. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. So if you know in the Bible the book of Proverbs, that it's a book to get wisdom, and you keep reading through the book, and the book keeps warning you about what you say, and about keeping your mouth shut, and about speaking, then you know what that tells me? That a wise person, especially a babe in Christ, that before they know things, there's a time to keep silence and there's a time to speak. You know what time to keep silence is? When you're a babe in Christ. When you don't know as much as you think you know. When all you have is this little bit of knowledge, and just because you have a knowledge that other people don't, doesn't make you some Bible scholar. Mm-hmm. There's a lack of knowledge in the Bible today, is what's really going on. There's a lot of people that just don't know the Bible. And that's what that is. That's a cause or result because of these new modern Bible versions. That just proves that these modern Bible versions, here's the thing they keep saying. These modern Bible versions, they're just so easy to read. Then why are people dumber when it comes to the Bible today than they used to be?
Yeah.
You look in the past, people used to know, even people that weren't saved, they would know facts of the Bible better. They would understand stories better. They were able to write hymns. Some of the people that wrote songs in the hymnal weren't even saved. And they knew the Bible better than a lot of people that, you know, that are saved today do. It's because of these stupid versions, because these versions don't make it easier to read. They make it harder. They make it harder to understand. They cause confusion. Look at, where did I have you turn? 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15. Mm-hmm. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So notice that study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What does that imply? If you don't spend time studying, you will be ashamed someday.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Normally because these people are lazy. Because it says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I'm going to have you turn to another passage. Go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I'll read to you from Proverbs chapter number 15. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Then it says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. So it just, all throughout the book of Proverbs, it speaks of the wise man refraining his lips, or when he speaks, he uses discretion. And then it speaks of the fool just pouring out foolishness, of just, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, the Bible says. Now, point number two, advice to the babe in Christ is learn to submit. You need to learn to be a follower. You need to learn to follow a leader. So you're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I'm going to read to you from Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 17. The Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Excuse me, for that is unprofitable for you." So notice it said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, the Bible says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So people say you shouldn't be following anyone. That's not what the Bible teaches. Mm-hmm. The Bible teaches, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me." And who is he speaking to? 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, babes in Christ. That's who he's speaking to. Now, I agree that the more you learn of the Bible, the more independent your thoughts should come. But you should still have a leader, unless you're the pastor of the church. I agree, the more you learn the Bible, the less you would need to follow a man, but you still need to be following your pastor. You still need to be, allowing, your pastor still needs to be leading you. You're going to be more dependent upon your pastor when you're a babe in Christ than when you know nothing, obviously at that point. But the Bible teaches that we are supposed to obey them that have the rule over us. And the elders are those that, it says, those that rule well. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. So the elder is the ruler, the pastor of the church. And that is someone we're supposed to be following. And you know the only people that would have a problem with this? Prideful people. People that are puffed up. That's the only people that would hate to hear that they have to follow someone else. Or that they have to submit to someone else. Or they have to obey someone else. Someone who's been saved for a year oftentimes. That's normally the person that comes in and that gets very disgruntled with the authority of the church. Mm-hmm. It's not the person that's been in the church for 15 years. It's normally the newly saved person. And these are things that all Christians will go through in their first couple stages of spiritual life. Go to Hebrews chapter number... That ain't right. I'll have you go to 1 Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. I know what this passage, I'll just read it to you. It's Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. Go ahead and turn, keep your hand there in 1 Corinthians 13 and turn to Hebrews chapter number 6. We'll start reading in 5 where it actually is the context. We'll read in chapter number 5, the end of chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse number 11. When it says whom, it's speaking of Jesus. Hebrews chapter number 5, verse number 11, it says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." So he says, "Of whom we have many things to say," speaking of Jesus, and he says, "and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing," saying you can't understand these things. Now he tells them why. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat." And then he says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The next piece of advice I want to give to the babe in Christ is to start using your knowledge. Start applying your knowledge. Start trying to find areas to use your knowledge. Because what happens in the first year, 2 years of being a new believer, what they end up doing, and what everyone ends up doing as a babe in Christ, is they end up just having knowledge. Because all they've done there for a while is they've just drank the bottle. All they've been doing is just receiving the milk, right? And that's very common in the very beginning. Normally the babe in Christ just doesn't learn something and then literally the very first sermon that they hear, they start applying it. That's very, very rare. There are some areas where people do great, especially in our movement, where they get saved. And then what they end up doing is they want to start going soul winning. And that's awesome. That's very common in our movement. But that's normally the only area where people start applying different things in their life right away. Right away, in our movement at least. That doesn't even take place in other movements because we emphasize soul winning so much. You know, obviously, that ends up getting emphasized in people's minds. But they need to start applying the knowledge that they learn. Just having doctrine in your mind. That's another sign of being a babe in Christ. Is just having knowledge. Not having other attributes. Not having other qualities. But just having knowledge in your mind. But then you're still living a sinful life. But then you're still not applying the things that you learned. And the things and the wisdom that you've learned. Now here in Hebrews chapter 5, notice what it's saying. He says, verse 12, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And he says, And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk, so notice the milk is being used, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So notice the milk needs to be used. Now keep reading, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. So notice the meat is by the grown Christian, the mature Christian, the meat is being used. The spiritual meat of the word is being used. By reason of use have their senses, and it says exercise to discern both good and evil. The babe in Christ, what they need to do, the newly saved Christian, they need to start trying every day, every time they learn something new, and applying something that day to their life. They need to take the knowledge that they've learned, and then that day when they walk out, they need to consciously say in their mind, I'm going to try to find an opportunity to where I can put this into practice in my life. I'm going to start trying to use this milk. I'm going to start trying to, and maybe you get a little chunk of meat, slips in there every once in a while. Try to use it. Try to implement that in your life. So I had you turn to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. So like I read to you before, 1 Corinthians 8 said, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So notice what it's saying. That if you have knowledge without charity, what's going to happen to you? You're going to become puffed up. You're going to become prideful, right? But if you have knowledge with charity, we're going to read here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, look at verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Remember, 1 Corinthians, who is he speaking to? The babes in Christ again. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and then he says this, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, saying I understand all mysteries and I understand all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, he says this, I am nothing. That is a powerful statement. That's a strong statement. He says, you know what he's saying? You can know every single doctrine in the Bible. You can be able to teach it. You can even understand the strong meat. And he says, if you don't have charity, you're nothing. You are worth zero, literally. So knowledge, and this is the other thing, knowledge is not the only thing. Knowledge is important, and it's very important to the babe in Christ. But when you start learning the Bible, if you don't start applying these things in your life, and you don't start striving when you hear a sermon taught on charity, when you hear a sermon taught on hospitality, and let me say this too, you know what babes in Christ lack the most, and it's very obvious, and it's what the Bible teaches here? Charity. If you ever go out soul winning with someone that's been saved for a year, you know, 6 months, 7 months, even when they're a good soul winner, do you know what's very obvious that they lack? Charity. When they go to the door, do you know what they want to do? They want to exercise their knowledge. They want to put their knowledge on display. They want to get in an argument with other people. And you can tell they're not interested in getting people saved.
Yeah.
It's because knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. That implies that there's people with knowledge that are puffed up. Maybe the Corinthians here, but they don't have charity. And that's why they're getting in all these divisions and all these arguments and all this strife in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And oftentimes, When you go out soul winning with these people, and I'll be somebody's partner, it's just like one door after another. They're just like getting in arguments, or they're rude to people. And here's the thing, I've said this multiple times. When you knock on someone's door, that person can tell whether you're sincere or not.
Yeah.
Whether you know it or not, I say this, I can tell when a salesman comes to me. I can tell when someone's speaking to me about a subject, when someone comes to me, whether they're sincere or not. When you knock on someone's door and you start giving them the gospel, that person can tell whether it's a sales pitch, whether you're just going through the motions, or whether you actually care about what you're telling them and actually want them to be saved or not. That person can care about that. And here's the thing, a lot of people, if you know, once they're newly saved, if they would start striving, at least trying, you know, to have little, you know, to have charity in their life, their soul winning would improve.
Mm-hmm.
If they started loving and caring about people more at this time, they would become better soul winners. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 8. Second Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 8. This is actually the growth of a Christian. So notice what it starts with. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you... Look, I'm sorry. We're going to start reading up at verse number... let's start reading in verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence... And then he says this, add to your faith virtue. So it's faith is what you have first, then virtue. And it says, and to virtue, knowledge. So notice what you get there in the very beginning there. Faith is where at the point where you get saved. Then it says, virtue, knowledge. Knowledge is the second thing that you receive. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. Excuse me. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, notice, charity. There are repeated lists like this in the New Testament where they're in very similar order, and charity is always last. Charity is referred as the bond of perfectness, that it brings everything together at the end. Charity is referred to at where we read there in 1 Corinthians 13, at the very end of 1 Corinthians 13, actually I think it's in the first verse of 1 Corinthians 14. The first statement says, follow after charity. After he gets done explaining to you just how great charity is. The very last verse of 1 Corinthians 13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. And then it says, but the greatest of these is charity. If someone was smart right when they got saved, do you know what they would start striving for immediately?
Charity.
Do you know what the mature Christian is? Here's the thing. People you know, get very confused about this. A mature Christian is not just solely based upon his Bible knowledge. That is not a mature Christian. That does not tell you who a mature Christian is. Now, a mature Christian will know the Bible very well, but there are other people that will know the Bible as well as him, as well as the mature Christian, who aren't mature Christians. Mm-hmm. And that may be confusing to you because this is the difference. A person that has Bible knowledge and just continues growing in Bible knowledge, if they're not applying things to their life, they're getting to a point where the Bible knowledge... Because here's the thing. Bible knowledge is the beginning of the growth. That's where the milk is coming in. That's where all the milk is... But it has to start... Imagine a baby that's drinking milk and it's just, you know, this is kind of crude, but it's just going straight through them. Nothing's being applied to the body, right? They're not taking in any nutrition. That's where these babes in Christ are. That's where often where babes in Christ stay their entire life. They start taking in some of the nutrition. They start to become puffed up. And then they start getting the rest of the knowledge, and it's just going straight through them. They hear it. They have it in their mind. They know what it means. They know what it says. All of that. But it's not being applied to their body. It's not being used. The nutrition is not actually building their muscles.
Yep.
They're not getting any bigger. And that's oftentimes what happens. And a mature Christian is a Christian that starts taking these things and applying them to their life. You know what a mature Christian is? A mature Christian is someone who has all of these qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Brotherly kindness And then as we saw in 1 Corinthians 13, and it's also in Colossians, the bond of perfectness, which is charity. That's a mature Christian. If you're trying to just be a mature Christian, you want people to think you're a mature Christian, get charity. It's not Bible knowledge, it's charity.
Yep.
You want to be a great Christian? Do you know who the greatest Christian in the world would be? Obviously, they would have to know Bible knowledge. They would have all those things. But it would be a person that had great charity. That would be the greatest Christian in the world. Paul said he had all the Bible knowledge in the world, but he didn't have charity. He's nothing. Charity is the most important thing, according to the Bible, in the Christian life. There are other things that are important, but this is stressed repeatedly. It said, then you say, oh, you shouldn't say that. The greatest of these is charity. That's what the Bible teaches.
Mm-hmm.
That charity is the greatest attribute to have. That's what all Christians should be striving towards. And the reason why I bring that up is because the babe in Christ is on the entire other side of the spectrum. They're very far from charity. But if you are smart as a babe in Christ, what you'll start doing is you'll start striving for charity in your life. So, I'm going to go back through all my points. So the point number one advice to a babe in Christ, obviously, is get on the milk and start learning, right? Then also, point number two, I added that as a point. But point number two is to shut up and sit down. Because you can't learn while you right now, babe in Christ, what's important, you shouldn't be teaching, you need to be learning.
Amen.
So you need to go to church and you need to find someone that's a good teacher, a good pastor. Just because he believes in the pre-trib doesn't exclude him. You need to find a church that's King James only. You need to find a church that's, you know, that is right on salvation, that sings traditional hymns, that goes soul winning, right? Amen. And these could, we could all, you know, this would apply to people here too. If they left the church, they need to find somewhere else to go. Point number three is you need to submit and follow a leader. You need to submit and follow a leader. And then the last point there, point number four, is to start applying things. And primarily, as a sub-point, start applying charity in your life. Start looking for opportunities to apply charity. And that, like I said, is a very, you know, it's a very mature stage of the Christian life. But everyone should always be striving and pushing toward that mark, like Paul talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We need to always be trying. Let's end in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 14. We need to always be trying to become a better Christian. It should be a moving target in our life. Ephesians chapter number 4, look at verse number 14. The Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And it says in verse number 15, but speaking the truth in love, and it says this, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. So it says, but speaking the truth in love. Now, as Christians, and while we're always going to be growing, it doesn't matter what stage of your growth that you're in your life, there's many things in this sermon. You may not be a babe in Christ, but there's many things in this sermon that you can apply to your life. And charity, as I said, is something that we should always be pushing toward. Charity is a perfect Christian. If you have perfect charity, you are a perfect Christian. It's the bond of perfectness. So that, number one, is something that every person can always be striving towards. But number two, my primary point for probably everybody that's here today is that you can start applying this while you're training other babes in Christ. And these are things to look for and things to teach them and get them to understand. That it's, you need to learn in the beginning, number one. You need to be following a leader. You need to find someone to follow and submit to a leader. You need to start applying the things. It's not just about knowledge. It's not just things that you learn in your mind. You need to start applying these things in your life. And the Bible often talks about, too, like I said, about the babe in Christ causing divisions. About the babe in Christ because they're walking in the flesh. So it's a hard time. It's a very difficult time as a babe in Christ, too. So we also should show mercy and grace to these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mercy and grace to the babe in Christ. And help them while they're at this age of their growth. And that can also help you to achieve charity. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word, dear Lord. We thank You, dear God, for just all Your teachings on the growth of maturity, dear Lord, and how we can know where we're at in our level of maturity, and how we can also, how the Bible teaches us of what that next stage is and also what we should strive and what we should endure for. We ask you that you be with us and bless the rest of the day and bless the preaching, dear Lord God, and just keep us safe. And in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.